Parshas Naso deals with setting up a camp of Jews in the Midbar so that they could sustain a life of holiness. There were the Mishkan in the center, surrounded by the Kohanim, then by the Levim, then by the Israelim. And then we learn the Parsha about concepts of Tumah and Tahara, purity and impurity, followed by the laws of the Sota, a woman who's unfaithful, and a Nazir, somebody who commits not to cut his hair or drink wine. Many of the laws don't seem very applicable, but there's actually some very important ideas that are contained within this Parsha. The Tanarana begins by exploring the role of the Levim, and he brings some important lessons about how we act in our service of Hashem. The Levim were there to serve Hashem in a very physical way. They sang songs in the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan, and they also were responsible for dismantling and assembling the Mishkan and carrying the parts of the Mishkan through the desert. So this work, this very physical labor, is what is the focus of the beginning of the Tzenerena. So the Tzenerena begins with a quote from Mishlei, and he sets up what is the key to having the mission of the life of a Jew, what is our attitude supposed to be regarding our work, our obligations. And the pasuk that he quotes is from Mishlei, and it says, Simcha l'tzadik, what is a joy for a person who is righteous? Asos mishpat, when justice is done. For a tzaddik, the biggest present he can have, what makes his life a party, is doing the right thing. When there is mishpat, justice, and no theft in his town, wow, he is ecstatic. For the rasha, for the evil person, that's not the case. If there's a strong justice system, he's always looking over his shoulder, when are they going to come for me and realize that I've undermined their town and what I've stolen from them or how I've acted incorrectly. Shlomo HaMelech is teaching us in this pasuk that it is very important that a person feels joy when he gets the opportunity to do a mitzvah. This story is not in the Tzenerena, but it always strikes me as the perfect epitome of what this idea means. So there was a Hasidish Rebbe who was always followed by his entourage. And once he saw a wallet on the floor and nobody else around him noticed it. So he reached down, picked it up, and he was so excited that he told his gabbai that he said, bring me my Shabbos clothes, bring me my bechasha and my strimol. And he got dressed in the middle of the week in his Shabbos clothes. And he stood up in the Beis Medrash. He stood up where all his chassidim were staying. And he says and he announced, I am now going to do the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. And he then said, who can come and identify a wallet? I found a wallet. If you come with the simanim, if you come with the signs, I will return it to you. He was so overjoyed to finally have this chance to do a mitzvah that he treated it with a tremendous amount of joy and respect. When we do mitzvos, we also can look at them as an occasion to celebrate. We can make it feel like a party. We can either say, oh yeah, I'm brushing my teeth, I'm combing my hair, I'm doing mitzvah, I'm saying Moda Ani. Or we could be like, whoa, I got the chance to say Moda Ani. That's incredible. That can be our attitude, a simcha l'tzadik. That's what makes us happy too. If we do this, the Tzenerena says that not only do we get the schar for the mitzvah we just did, but we also get the schar for the joy of the mitzvah that we have. Now, this is again not in the Tzenerena, but if you've ever been to a wedding where the people are dancing and they're jumping up and down on the floor and the floor is shaking, that floor had to have been reinforced with a lot more supports than a floor where people are sitting in their chairs pleasantly listening to a speech, because the weight of all that joy adds something to the weight of the people. The joy, the dancing, that adds a weight, it adds something to it. It's not just the same activity as if the people are sitting around. So that's the same thing with mitzvahs. When we add joy to our mitzvahs are more heavy when they're weighed on the scales at the end of our lives in Olam Haba. We have the mitzvah, and that counts as one particular weight, and then there's the joy that gets added to it. So if we're doing the mitzvahs anyways, it would seem to make sense to have joy when we do this. Given the importance of joy and the centrality of what of our work, of our mitzvos, the parsha gives us ideas of how do we make sure that we have joy in our lives. And this parsha is talking in specific about the work of karbanos. The avoda work, as described in the parsha, is referring to the work in the mishkan, the karbanos. People bringing karbanos, how could they feel a sense of joy? It's a very serious time. When you bring a karban, it's either coming out of gratitude, or it's feeling out of connection to Hashem, or it may be coming out of regret for doing an Avera. So how can we add joy to that? So Chazal say, Ivdu as Hashem b'simcha, serve Hashem with joy. There's a mitzvah to serve Hashem with happiness. Mipnezeh, because of this, because there is that mitzvah to serve Hashem with a sense of joy, Sharu b'pevei simchah, they would sing with their mouths. They would have a choir during the time when the karbanos were being offered in the Beis HaMikdash. And this happened as well in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, they also had a choir and they also had a band. So this would enhance the people's experience. It would help take their emotions to the next level, and they would have joy for those people who are standing near the karbanos. This, the Tzenarana says, is the meaning of the words in our pasuk, la'avod avodas avoda, to work the work of the work. So what is the work of the work? It should be to work the work, right? La'avod avoda, to work the work. What is the work of the work? What work are we doing that so that we can work? We have to do something so, in order to prepare us to work. This is the work of the Levim, where they sang while people did the work of the karbanos. Since the karbanos are a very serious time, it's a very spiritual time, it's a thoughtful time, it might be hard to do with joy. So the Torah commanded that the Levim had to infuse the experience with music to help bring out that joy from the experience. I think there's a very important lesson here. Joy is not just an outgrowth of what we're doing, but it has to be planned. It needs to be set up. There needs to be ways where we can make sure that our joy will be channeled and enhanced when it's important times. If the circumstances are overwhelming, we might not have access to it. We might want our emotions to go in one direction that our head knows that should go, but it might be too overwhelming. So what should we do? We can add music, add experiences so that those emotions are available. We have a lot of avoda work. We have tefillah, we have our prayers, we have mitzvos that we do. We have the learning in schools. We want to have opportunities to add joy to them. So we add joy by throwing a party when we do that. When we learn something, we complete it, we have a siyum. We have beautiful singing in shul to bring our emotions along with the mitzvah that we are doing. The Tzenarena now transitions to the next topic, which is also related to how we do mitzvos, which is, what work did each of the groups of the Levim do in the Mishkan? So there are three sons of Levi. There's Gershom, Kahas, and Merari. Gershom is oldest, and then Kahas is mentioned first in the pasuk. It first mentions Kahas and tells us his job, and then it talks about Gershom's job. So Kahas had the most important job. He was meant to carry the aron, the shulchan, the menorah, the mizbeach. He carried all the important vessels where the work of the Mishkan was actually done. The first son, his job was to have the wagons and the oxen. And then Merari's job, the last son's job, was to carry the boards of the Mishkan, the heavy boards of the Mishkan. So the Torah Mar tells us that in the pasuk, Gershon is referred to in a language of distinction. It says, Niso es Rosh B'nei Gershon, lift up to leadership the sons of Gershon. Gershon also merited to be a leader like Kahas because he was the Bechor, he was the oldest. Merari did not have this elevation because he wasn't as important as Gershon and Kahas. Kahas had a special job, which made him very important. And the main job he had, he did carry all of the vessels in the Mishkan, but his main job that made him so special was that he carried the aron, which people recognized were very important. All the people in Kahas, they would stand around the aron with their backs to everybody else because it was so holy. And because their job was so important, the pasuk says, Vayefkod Moshe v'aron u'siyeh ha'eda. Moshe, Aaron, all the princes of all the congregation appointed this Shevet, this son of Levi, Kahas, this part of the tribe for this work. They all gave over, they appointed him in his place. For Gershon, only Moshe and Aaron appointed them to their jobs, the Nesiim didn't. And with Merari, it doesn't mention anything. For Merari, there's actually a lesson that we're going to learn about community and family life. So they weren't the most important ones. They didn't get the special job of carrying the aron. They didn't even have the oxen and they weren't the oldest. Their job was the hard work of making sure that the actual structure of the Mishkan was there. It was the thankless work. It was the hard work. the Tzitna Renna tells us that the Pasuk says, B'shemos tifkadu es kol mishmeres masam. By name, they were all to be appointed for their job of what they were carrying. Every person from the Shevet of Merari was assigned a specific amount of boards that they needed to carry. According to the Ramban, each Levi got an exact number of how many boards to carry. So if this is such an important job to carry these boards, why are they being so controlling and saying you have to do three and you have to do two and you have to do four? Let's say somebody said, I want to do six. I'm excited. So the sentiment in the name of the Ramban answers that when you have such a hard job and you have something that's going to get trying year after year, day after day, because it's hard work, you need to make sure that you have people appointed to each part of the job so nothing gets forgotten. So as a mashal, again, this is not in the center right now, but let's say I tell my kids that it's time to set the table. They might argue for 15 minutes for a job that might take 2 minutes, but it's not going to get done. If I say, you bring out the glasses, you bring out the forks, you bring out the plates, then the job gets done. Because when I appoint things specifically, everybody knows their area of responsibility and they can't go hide and pretend that they don't know that I'm telling them to do the work and hoping that somebody else will do the work. And the Ramban says, this is really understandable because the work was hard. Maybe the first time they were all thrilled to carry the boards, but the second, the third, the fourth time, it would get hard. And so they needed to make sure they would divide up the work. So the next lesson in the Parsha, after we know that we need to have joy when we do our mitzvos, is that when mitzvos are hard, we can't leave it to chance and just assume that somebody's going to do it, that they should take care of it. We need to have order. We need to define who is going to take care of it and work as a community to make sure that it's done. This is the beauty of having community organizations. Sometimes there are towns that it's really nice. When people are sick, they all pitch in and they all help. But let's say a person is ill for an extended period of time, or you have more than one person who's sick at a time. It starts to get really hard and people start to burn out. So even better than having a really nice community who pitches in when somebody's sick or has a baby, it's better to make a bigger Holam organization. So when things get hard, there's somebody responsible to divide up the work to make sure everybody knows that there's this responsibility, and the responsibility doesn't get ignored when the going gets tough. The pasuk continues with the next lesson. It says, Ish alavod so, that each man is responsible for his work. The Ramban writes that the pasuk says to us that every Levi has to do his own work. If Moshe said you carry four boards, he had to carry four boards and not five boards. You couldn't take a board from somebody else. He can't go to someone else and say, you know, I know you don't really want to do it. I'll take over for you. Each person has to do his own work. And he doesn't have any connection to the work of his friends. And very often we're all nice people. We see people struggling under burdens and we want to step in and help them and do it for them. But the Ramban is telling us, the Pasuk is telling us, that's not okay. There needs to be the ability for every person to contribute based on what they can give. Every person has to step up. We need to divide up the work amongst everybody. We can't have one person try to take over and do everything and leave everybody else to benefit. Every person needs to grow. They need to do their mitzvah and they need to find ways to bring joy to their mitzvah. They need to find ways to add music to their mitzvah, but we can't take away their mitzvah because it's hard for them. We have to allow people the opportunity and the growth that comes from doing a mitzvah. After telling us about all the jobs that the Levim had to do and where they can't, the Torah tells us about people who are tamei, who are ritually impure. And there are three categories of people. There's somebody who is saras. There is somebody who is a zavar zava, which means they have bloody emissions. And somebody who is tamei nis, who is tamei from touching a dead body. Each of these categories can go to a different part of the camp. So a tzaras cannot be with anybody. He has to sit alone. He has to go outside the camp of the Kohanim, the Levim, and the Israelim. A person who is Zav or Zova cannot go to the Mishkan and be in the camp of the Kohen or the Levi. And somebody who touches a mace, somebody who touches a dead person, can't go into the camp of the Kohen, but he can go into the camp of the Levim and Israelim. So the Ramban, the Torah Mor, and the Chizkuni say that the laws of Tuma come after the Levium to teach us a lesson. Once this is all set up, the Mishkanos all set up, and we have our proper attitudes, and we're all contributing, and we're all there, bringing the, making sure that the Shekhinah has a place to rest in the Jewish people, now we need to guard against the fact that Tuma, impurity, shouldn't come in. We have to keep the bad out. So there are influences that are not random that are trying to get into our community. And these represent the forces of the Yetzirah from the beginning of time. Tuma, says the Sefer Rena, came into the world because of the sin of Adam HaRishon. Why did Adam HaRishon sin? Adam sinned because Chava convinced him to eat from the Eitz Hadas, from the tree of knowledge, which she was convinced that she should eat from the tree of knowledge by the snake. And the snake told her that Hashem didn't want her to become like a god, and therefore she should eat from the Eitz Hadas. So the snake convinced the woman to eat by speaking against God, which is Lashon Hara. So the snake's got Saras, which corresponds to the first level of Tuma, which has no place in the Jewish camp. The woman got got Nida. She menstruates, and this corresponds to the Zav and Zava, who cannot be in the camp of the Kohen and the Levi. Adam brought death into the world, and therefore that corresponds to the Tumas Nes, to the impurity that comes from touching a dead body. Mitzvos, and the Mishkan in particular, have to be done with intention, and the goal is to keep out those forces which changed our lives in such a negative way back when the world was created. From the beginning of this parsha, when we look at the camp of the Levium and what we are meant to do, we have learned some very important lessons. The first is that how do we do mitzvos? We need to do them with joy. What shows our inner intentions and our connection to Hashem is the emotions we experience when we have the opportunity to do a mitzvah. So we need to find ways to put joy in. And we do that by singing, by creating experiences where we can tell ourselves and show ourselves how important the mitzvos are to bring our emotions along when we know something is important. The second idea that we learned from the Ramban is that when we have mitzvos and they're not going to be easy, we need to make sure that there are those people who are responsible. We can't leave it to chance. We have to set up our communities, set up our lives, set up our homes so that there are responsibilities and things will be done as they need to be done. And related to this is that when we set up people with responsibilities or people have responsibilities, they need to watch their own mitzvos. We can't do their mitzvos for them. We can't try to solve their problems by doing their mitzvos, or reminding about their mitzvos, or pushing them to do their mitzvos. Everybody has their own relationship with their own mitzvos. And finally, once we've set up a home of joy, where every person has a sense of ownership over what they want to achieve, we need to protect it from negative influences and not let those influences corrupt that which we have set up. Because our goal is to set up a Mishkan in our lives to bring Hashem down so that he can live amongst us and walk amongst us. Have a good Shabbos.